Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us again this week on On Point. I'm your host, A. Trey, and we'd like to welcome everybody back. Hopefully your week wasn't too bad, too rough on you. I'd like to say good morning to all our guests here with us. Roll call, everybody. Say good morning to our audience.
Good morning. This is Lady Sincere. How you guys doing?
Good morning, Tar Trees. Sending a warm greetings to everybody.
Good morning, greetings, salutations, peace, Hotep. This is Chris. How's everybody doing?
Doing good. Thanks for asking.
Absolutely fantastic. First, you know, we have two very important days coming up pretty soon. Even though every day is that, it's Mother's Day and Father's Day, and I think. What we're going to be talking about today is a little bit on the theme of those individuals involved. And it's inside of our segment, in State of Our Union, it's my damn class, and you are here to learn. I know it sounds funny, but this week we're going to take a moment to look at the school system and the children that are part of it, its strengths, the fails, and the need for a solution to an abandoning social attitude toward respect of and for education, the institution itself, and its educators of an epidemic proportions. It's just out of control. And the second half for your second segment is, where the hell are mommy and daddy? And but today, I want to look at something. The schools. From when I grew up, things have changed drastically. I was doing a little bit of reading, and there's a study, this survey said that according to World Studies, the survey, America, the students ranks 36th in the world. And it's like, how do we improve? That's the question. They did a global education survey, and it was released this past Tuesday. And so when it comes to math, reading, science, teens in the U.S. are 36 in the world. And stereotypically, it's no surprise, students in Shanghai and China were the best. The results came from an assessment done last year. More than 500,000 students from 65 countries took a two-hour test. Part of a 2012 program for international student assessments, or PISA, as they call it. Students in East Asian countries performed the strongest, with the students in the Chinese city of Shanghai doing the best of Singapore. Came in second to math, followed by Hong Kong, and we were way down at the bottom. And I'll get there. Give me just a moment. This is the global exam. It was given to 15-year-olds around the world. Considered the worldwide benchmark for education, as it were, ranking by each country. It measured the standards in subjects, math, science, reading, not English, across Europe, North and South America, Australia, Asia, parts of the Middle East, Tunisia, also participated. And U.S. performance was extremely low. You know, during average in reading and science, well below the average in math, of course, we failed to reach the top 20 in any of the subjects that were tested. America fell below the UK and well behind most of all our Asian counterparts. Now, my thing is this. Is it the teachers? Can we hold the teachers accountable for everything that goes wrong?
No, you can't hold them accountable for everything. I mean, it's like. No, I was going to say this, and I'm sorry to cut you off, but you can't hold the teachers responsible for everything. You know, when you're raising a child, as they say back to the old days, it takes a village. You know, you need your mom, your father, you need the child to be involved as well. You know, you need to be a collaborative effort, a community type effort. You know, I understand that, you know, we need better books. You know, we need better, you know, just better things to make them thrive better, because the kids are our generation. So it takes a community effort to make these things work. You know, I was online a couple of nights ago, and I found some staggering, you know, statistics coming from DoSomething.org. And the dropout rate for high school students is crazy, and that go along with crime. From what I have here, just to read one of them, I have, and as I say, this is coming from DoSomething.org, it states every year over 1.2 million students drop out of high school, and that's in the United States alone. So that's 26 students every, you know, 26 students every second. Better yet, 7,000 students a day. Like, that number is high. You know, we can't blame the teacher for everything. You only can blame them for so much. You know, the parents right. have a dad, but doing that, you know, well, it's the teacher's fault. No, you got to do your job as a mom, too, whether it's the father is
right.
there or not. You got to do
I
your
agree.
Job.
Well, can I turn in?
Sure.
I agree that it is a community. It is a community effort, but you know, times are different now than what they were when, like, we all grew up. Like, you know, back in the day, like, you know, I come from a very small town. So, if I was messing up outside of the home, like, if my neighbors saw it, they would check me.
Right.
And then they would tell my parents, and my parents would check me. And that also went to coincide with, like, what I did in school.
Right.
But nowadays, you don't have that. And I think...
Well, that's true. That's parent.
Well, it's also what I'm getting at is that you don't have that community effort
community.
Anymore.
Right,
mainly because people are scared, you know, adults are scared to be adults in some cases because, you know, CPS will get on you. And, you know what I'm saying? So you have kids that, you know, granted, there are some adults that aren't afraid to do it, but there are, I think the majority of them are afraid.
I ain't ever scared.
They're very scared. And in turn, like, the children, you know, kids need structure, so they, you know, this generation of children, they have very little respect nowadays, and that's because, you know, nobody's on the same page anymore. You know what I'm saying?
I think this is an invented word, friendments. We don't have
try to be the kid's friend and stuff.
In the classroom, I told my teacher, I said, my teacher asked me to sit down, and I was like this. I said, I'm about to. That's all I said, is I'm about to. She got on the phone with Ms. Becca Salon. My mother came up to the class, grabbed me by my ear, pulled me to the front of the class, and she said, I want you to apologize to your teacher for being disruptive to your class. And some of my classmates start laughing, and she looked at them and told them, she said, hey, I know your mama, and I know your daddy. And when I walk out this room, they will know what's going on, so you be quiet too. Nowadays, and I was in check. And I expected that when I got home, my mom was going to have some boxing gloves for her and me anyway. But what happened was the disconnect has become that most of these parents, in my opinion, have become so anti-parent that no real parent can say anything to their children. Even if they're not
child. I totally agree. I totally agree.
It's funny you say that, Trey, because I'm going to tell you what I know. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I don't want to cut you off.
Oh, no. I just wanted to say we have another caller online. Good morning.
Oh, okay.
Good morning. This is James. How's everybody this morning?
Good. And you, James?
Good morning. How are you doing, James?
You're doing exceptionally well. I think, folks, we have a good path of the discourse this morning, and everyone's making some valid points. I just wanted to reach out and say that as a teacher, I'm familiar with both sides of this. You know, obviously we were all students too, and I've had my mom come up to the school, and she embarrassed me. She embarrassed me in such a fashion that I was teased by my friends for the rest of the day and several days thereafter. Now, just to kind of give you a heads up, my mom was, you know, we were raised in the 70s. And she dressed in the 70s how Erykah Badu dressed when she first came out with the, you know, that cheeky and the aunt and all that.
Right.
She came up and she mouthed some words in my classroom to me, indicating what she was going to do to my posterior when we got home, and my fellas saw that. Now, my mom had no qualms about coming to the school. Part of the reason is because we didn't have a phone. So she was at the school quite often, not necessarily always for good stuff. But I think what's happening is some of the points you touched on, there's a disconnect between parents, kids, teachers, and discipline. And I think somewhere in there, we've forgotten where that is. And someone mentioned that we don't have that community effort. You know, in ancient Africa, they had something called the 42 Mayadian principles. And it's what basically the Ten Commandments are based on. But it talked about how we structured our homes. Everybody, the back of everybody's home was the encapsulation of the wall of the village. It made the wall of the village. And if one home was weak, the whole village was weak because somebody wasn't pulling their weight. Somebody wasn't doing their job. Somebody wasn't building their wall properly. Everybody looked after everybody's kids. Just like, you know, I know as a little boy, I was throwing rocks one day, and Ms. Beatrice looked out the window, saw me, called my grandma, came out, beat my tail, walked me home by my ear, and told my grandmother, hey, I caught him, I did this, grandma brought me in, and beat my tail again. Now, I'm not saying we should beat the kids. That's not what I'm saying, but I think there's a disciplinary disconnect that we're missing, and that's created a systemic issue in the schools that now folks are afraid to enforce. And teachers aren't able to teach because discipline is not occurring.
Sorry.
Well, that goes back to what I was saying earlier, where parents are afraid to discipline because, you know, you have organizations like CPS where, you know, if they just hear about you, back in the day we used to get spanking. Like, you don't.
I'm not saying
they solve anything. But what I'm saying is, like, back in the day, that's how we got disciplined. So, but nowadays, like,
I'm sorry. There's a person. Hold on. I'm sorry. There's a person listening right now. I can see you. You. The next time you see a baby fall out, and he's 9 years old, I'll call him a baby because I'm over 25. And you see him fall out, he disrespects his mom, and his mom puts him in check without punching him in the jaw or breaking his arm or anything. Shut up and applaud her. Applaud the dad that puts that child in check. And hold on, because, listen, here it is. It's not so much as that the child, they didn't have to do anything harsh to the child. But whatever you see there follows its way into the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
The attitude that's allowed to happen outside of the classroom follows into the classroom. Our teachers are having hell with the kids, and I'm on this perspective. Our teachers are having hell with the kids who are allowed to be as flagrantly free-spirited about the mouth at home. When you have parents that allow their children to swear at home, when they go to the class, they figure there's no repercussions. There's nothing to fix because if the parents allow it, it's okay. It's okay.
But you have to break that down. What I'm saying is it just comes to – we can sit up here and quote stats and give suggestions, but the bottom line is it comes to the adults. And that goes across the board. And, yeah, you can say with the community helping and all, but it comes to the individuals, adults, because, like Mama said, to me when I was older, hey, you know better because you're older. And that's the case. You don't have kids teaching adults. You have adults teaching kids. So in any situation, yes, you're going to have those situations where the teacher get body slammed, but then there are those situations where the adults know how to diffuse those situations. And with not just the teacher adults, but the adults that's in charge, the adult lawmakers, just us as a collective. And that's the real issue. The adults, things are the way they are because of the
adults. Here's a question. Isn't a parent aside from those ones that are having babies while they're babies, isn't a parent supposed to be an adult?
That's true.
They are.
I see the point, but here it is. That adult disconnected. That adult decided that discipline was something that was archaic, outdated. There are some children that need more than a stern talking to. They need to be put in check. I'm not saying you got to beat them down. That's not what I'm saying. Don't even misconstrue it. But I'm saying that listen, you got guys who drive drunk. They drive drunk. And then they don't go, I drive best when I'm drunk.
You don't have, every teacher is not a good teacher. You have bad people that are teachers, and they can't get fired because they are part of the union. And Jay, just like you, you initially probably became a teacher, but it took you a couple of years to master being a teacher, mastering the psychology and diffusing situations. Because, yes, back to the issue, when you send your kid home, you in the mindset of the adult person in class is responsible for all things, regardless what happens. And, yes, things happen. You can't put a lid on everything. But at the end of the day, that teacher is responsible for the end and the beginning of all regarding that individual, regardless if they have bad problems at home. Unless they're not mentally decapitated in some way, or mentally incapacitated, or got an illness where they kind of physically, mentally ill, then yes, you may have that issue. But if you sound in your mind, then that adult should be able to be equipped and responsibly handled and be accountable for that.
I agree with you to some point, but here, until that teacher is cooking dinner at that house, is paying rent at that house, is paying that water bill at that house, is paying for insurance and that car note at that house,
they are
not the only ones responsible for those children.
Let me chime in again here. Like, the point that I was trying to make was that I think it as a whole, it's about respect. And so, like, the kids, the parents are afraid to parent, and therefore they lose the child's respect. And, like, my father, like, he had, as much as I was, number one, I was scared of him. Number two, but I know he loved me, and I respected him. And I respected him because he wasn't afraid to discipline me and be stern when he needed to. But you don't have that now. You don't have that at all now. So that's the point I'm trying to make.
I agree with everybody. I'm just saying let's simplify the issue, and it just goes back to the adults because we got the experience. We know better. We're supposed to do better. It's that simple.
Excuse me. We have ladies, gentlemen, we have another caller. Caller, thank you for calling On Point. This is Trey.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm sorry, this morning. I'm listening to the show, listening to everyone's comments. Each and every one of you have a valid comment. I believe that the days of the community effort are gone. I believe that is due to us living in a time now where we definitely have more one-parent households. And even though mama can do all things at all times, she can't be in all places at all times like she could back in the day. These children today are very unruly and disrespectful. I don't think it's necessarily a situation of parents being afraid to parent or being afraid to discipline. I think it's a situation of the parent is having to do too much to survive.
Right.
I know plenty women who are working 2 and 3 jobs to make ends meet. Where if mama is gone from the house all day and all evening, who's looking after the kids? Who's giving the kids discipline? Who's teaching them respect?
No adult supervision. Right.
No supervision. Who's saying every night, you got homework, let's get to the tape. You know what I'm saying? Did you turn your homework in? You know, and then where school is concerned, the teachers aren't calling home anymore because guess what? They got 30 or 31 kids in the class that they're trying to keep up with, and they can't call everybody's parents anymore. So I think it's a little bit of everything. But, yes, respect is at first taught at home. Then you got these women who have had kids young, or like Trey said, babies having babies. They don't know how to teach respect, because guess what? They still learning it. You know, so I think it's just a little bit of everything. But as he said, whatever your behaviors are at home or in the street, it spills over into the classroom. And that friend thing, my children are 29, 27, and 22. And, yes, we can have, you know, some adult conversation. But when they get out of pocket, to this day, I say, hold on. I'm still your mama. You burning up my ears. You know, check yourself.
But how does the teacher respond and deal with the students that are not parents like yourself? That's the situation.
Well,
you got J's in every class, they're gonna deal with it.
And the thing is, for the teacher, I feel bad for the teachers because it's hard for the teacher to do what you didn't do at home.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
It's hard, but not impossible.
It's not impossible, but like you said, one of you callers said, you know, we live in a time now where you got these parents, if you say anything out the way to their kids, you got the parents acting a fool.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all seen it before. I've seen it before. Don't be saying nothing to my kid. Hold on.
Right.
You know,
We got to hear the horn, and I want to hear what the teacher
You know
what? And,
excuse me. I'm sorry. I appreciate everything that's being said. But the young lady, she just made a perfect segue into our second topic, which I actually would like to get underway, and it goes hand in hand. Where the hell are mommy and daddy? And
Trey?
It's like we're going to pose it. Yes.
I would love to address that.
Okay, hold on. And then that thing is, we're gonna pose this question, and it's because the answer is kind of escaping everyone. Home is no longer the place to raise your children, and for a lot of reasons. Go ahead, Jay. Chime in.
Well, my perspective is this: what has changed over the decades is this. When all this started, we were a very agrarian society. Everybody was farming, taking care of their families. We ate healthy, all that good stuff. And as time has changed, where we had to come off the farms and start moving into the cities, and then we went from that to becoming a two-job family where mom and dad were both gone, it took mom and dad out of the house, and that made kids latchkey kids. So there's that word systemic. It's a systemic issue. It's not just the parents, and I think there are a lot of parents who want to be good parents. But if I've got to have two jobs, if I'm a single parent and I got to have two jobs, or if both mom and dad are required to work, well, little Jimmy gets home at 3:30 and he's grabbing a bowl of cereal and maybe not doing his homework and texting and all that. Mom and dad aren't there to instill that discipline that we had. Because when I got home, my mom said, hey, where's your homework? How much homework you got? She was on it.
Yep.
She said, do your chores, get a snack, do your homework. Then you can go out and play. You know, we don't have that anymore.
I'm sorry, what is go out and play? What is that?
Go
find another baby.
Trey, I'm going to tell you, I don't just teach. I teach college. And I remember, like, you know, we get a break. And when I first started teaching, I'd say, hey, okay, let's take 10 minutes, take a break. Everyone left the room. It was like a stampede. You could just hear all the footsteps. In the more recent years, I said, let's go on a break. Two people would leave the classroom. The other 28 would stick their hands in their pockets, whip out their phone and begin texting and surfing the web. And that's the way kids operate now. Now, I'm not against technology. Don't get me wrong. You know, but as I mentioned before to one of you, I know that I mentioned, I told a student, I said, hey, here's how you convert something. Give me 6 times 3. He said, I need a calculator. I said, no, 6 times 3. He said, I need a calculator. I said, man, it's only 6 times 3. He said, and I need a calculator.
He being intellectually lazy.
Well,
that's what
pretty much. But that's what's happened over the years is we've gone away from that mom and dad instilling that discipline, instilling that thought process of I've got to learn to be self-sufficient. I've got to be respectful. I've got to learn to move forward and make something of myself. Now if you castigate a kid, you're going to get thoroughly punished. There'll be some sort of punitive damages, at least most folks think. Now, me personally, if my son gets out of line in a public place, I'm like, don't think he's going to embarrass me because I will raise my voice and put you in your doggone place. And he understands.
But
most of the time, I just give him the look. He knows. We've lost all of that.
And you know what this is a result from years of just starting families and leaving them and starting up another family and leaving them. And, you know, honestly, I'm going to be honest. That's just a lot of bad decisions out there. You can, you know, of course we love our kids, but at the root of it, it's a bad decision. You know, that wasn't what we wanted. And unfortunately, you got 2 or 3 or 4 or 5, and you got another family.
Okay, hold on.
But I see it with just one, though.
It's not a bad decision. Here it is. You got 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 children. That's not a bad decision. That's not a bad decision. You know
you
what poor, the hell
you're
you
doing.
The moment you go in there on that couch, in that bedroom, in the backyard,
and
in the tub, and you do your thing, and you know what the end result's going to be, that's not a bad decision. That's just bad timing. You decided, look, you know what? There's going to be something that could result from this.
But how many maybe babies have been made? You don't watch Maury and all these shows.
What I say to you, what I say
to the first one. Come on now.
Hold on.
What
I say to the bad decisions, guess what? We as a whole are reaping the repercussions. Our children are reaping the repercussions of our
decisions. Yeah, they're the ones that suffer.
As adults, or better yet, not even our decisions as adults. Our decisions, some of them were made when we wasn't adults, but it's the children that are reaping the repercussions. And, I mean, this subject can branch off into so many different aspects. But like you said, where's mommy and daddy? And the way we're living now, mommy working 2-3 jobs, and a whole lot of daddies are absentee.
And then nowadays, you have kids having kids. So that doesn't help because you have a lot of kids having kids. You have 17, 18, 19-year-old having kids, and most of those kids are having kids. They haven't completed their education. So how can you tell your kids to complete it because they haven't completed
it? Ladies, gentlemen,
Excuse me.
Let me get this out because I hate the fact that we have to end this conversation, but all good things do come to an end. We will readdress this one. I love the fact that everybody was here. I appreciate your input, and I appreciate the fact that I deal with intelligent people on a regular basis to make me feel great. Raise your glasses, bottoms to the top. Every thought is grand. Every idea is warranted. For every step you take and for every endeavor you make, may they always be on point.
On point.
On point. We will get back to this conversation.
Incredible. I love these people. They make my whole world.